10. When Hodges gets home from the hospital, a good-looking young man in a Harvard t-shirt is sitting on his stoop, reading a thick paperback with a bunch of fighting Greeks or Romans on the cover. Sitting beside him is an Irish setter wearing the sort of happy-go-lucky grin that seems to be the default expression of dogs raised in friendly homes. Both man and dog rise when Hodges pulls into the little lean-to that serves as his garage. The young man meets him halfway across the lawn, one fisted hand held out. Hodges bumps knuckles with him, thus acknowledging Jerome's blackness, then shakes his hand, thereby acknowledging his own waspiness. Jerome stands back, holding Hodges' forearms and giving him a once-over.
"Look at you," he exclaims, "skinny as ever was."
"I walk," Hodges says, "and I bought a treadmill for rainy days."
"Excellent. You'll live forever."
"I wish," Hodges says and bends down. The dog extends a paw and Hodges shakes it. "How you doing, Odell?" Odell woofs, which presumably means he's doing fine. "Come on in," Hodges says. "I have Cokes, unless you'd prefer a beer."
"Coke's fine. I bet Odell would appreciate some water. We walked over. Odell doesn't walk as fast as he used to."
His bowl's still under the sink. They go in and toast each other with icy glasses of Coca-Cola. Odell laps water, then stretches out in his accustomed place beside the TV. Hodges was an obsessive television watcher during the first months of his retirement, but now the box rarely goes on except for Scott Pelley on the CBS Evening News or the occasional Indians game.
"How's the pacemaker, Bill?"
"I don't even know it's there, which is just the way I like it. What happened to the big country club dance you were going to in Pittsburgh with what's-her-name?"
"That didn't work out. As far as my parents are concerned, what's-her-name and I discovered that we are not compatible in terms of our academic and personal interests."
Hodges raises his eyebrows. Sounds a tad lawyerly for a philosophy major with a minor in ancient cultures. Jerome sips his Coke, sprawls his long legs out, and grins.
"Truth? What's-her-name, a.k.a. Priscilla, was using me to tweak the jealous bone of her high school boyfriend. And it worked. Told me how sorry she was to get me down there on false pretenses. Hopes we can still be friends, so on and so forth. A little embarrassing, but probably all for the best." He pauses. "She still has all her Barbies and Bratz on a shelf in her room, and I must admit that gave me pause. I guess I wouldn't mind too much if my folks found out I was the stick she stirred her pot of love soup with, but if you tell the Barbster, I'll never hear the end of it."
"Mum's the word," Hodges says. "So what now? Back to Massachusetts?"
"Nope, I'm here for the summer. Got a job down on the docks swinging containers."
"That is not work for a Harvard man, Jerome."
"It is for this one. I got my heavy equipment license last winter. The pay is excellent, and Harvard ain't cheap, even with a partial scholarship."
Tyrone Feelgood Delight makes a mercifully brief guest appearance.
"Dis here black boy going tote that barge and lift that bale, Massa Hodges."
Then back to Jerome, just like that.
"Who's mowing your lawn? It looks pretty good."
"Not Jerome Robinson quality, but pretty good." "Kid from the end of the block," Hodges says. "Is this just a courtesy call, or?"
"Barbara and her friend Tina told me one hell of a story," Jerome says. "Tina was reluctant to spill it at first, but Barb's talked her into it. She's good at stuff like that. Listen, you know Tina's father was hurt in the city center thing, right?"
"Yes."
"If her big brother was really the one sending cash to keep the fam afloat, good for him. But where did it come from? I can't figure that one out no matter how hard I try."
"Nor can I."
"Tina says you're going to ask him."
"After school tomorrow is the plan."
"Is Holly involved?"
"To an extent. She's doing background."
"Cool."
Jerome grins big.
"How about I come with you tomorrow? Get the band back together, man. Play all the hits."
Hodges considers. "I don't know, Jerome. One guy, a golden oldie like me, might not upset young Mr. Saubers too much. Two guys, though, especially when one of them's a badass black dude who stands 6'4".
15 rounds, and I'm still pretty," Jerome proclaims, waving clasped hands over his head. Odell lays back his ears. "Still pretty. That bad old bear Sonny Liston never touched me. I float like a butterfly. I sting like a..."
He assesses Hodge's patient expression. Okay, sorry, sometimes I get carried away. Where are you going to wait for him?
Out front was the plan. You know, where the kids actually exit the building.
Not all of them come out that way, and he might not, especially if Tina lets on she talked to you.
He sees Hodges about to speak and raises a hand.
She says she won't, but big brothers know little sisters. You can take that from a guy who's got one. If he knows somebody wants to ask him questions, he's apt to go out the back and cut across the football field to Westfield Street. I could park there, give you a call if I see him.
Do you know what he looks like?
Uh-huh. Tina had a picture in her wallet. Let me be a part of this, Bill. Barbie likes that chick. I liked her, too. And it took guts for her to come to you, even with my sister snapping the whip.
I know.
Also, I'm curious as hell. Tina says the money started coming when her bro was only 13. A kid that young with access to that much money.
Jerome shakes his head.
I'm not surprised he's in trouble.
Me either. I guess if you want to be in, you're in.
My man!
This cry necessitates another fist bump. You went to Northfield, Jerome. Is there any other way he could go out besides the front in Westfield Street? Jerome thinks it over.
If he went down to the basement, there's a door that takes you out to one side where the smoking area used to be back in the day. I guess he could go across that, then cut through the auditorium and come out on Garner Street.
I could put Holly there, Hodges says thoughtfully.
Excellent idea, Jerome cries. Getting the band back together, what I said.
But no approach if you see him, Hodges says. Just call. I get to approach. I'll tell Holly the same thing. Not that she'd be likely to.
As long as we get to hear the story.
If I get it, you'll get it, Hodges says, hoping he has not just made a rash promise. Come by my office in the Turner Building around 2 and we'll move out around 2:15. Be in position by 2:45.
You're sure Holly will be okay with this?
Yes, she's fine with watching. It's confrontation that gives her problems.
Not always.
No, Hodges says, not always.
They are both thinking of one confrontation, at the Mac with Brady Hartsfield. That Holly handled just fine.
Jerome glances at his watch.
I have to go. Promised I'd take the Barbster to the mall. She wants a swatch.
He rolls his eyes. Hodges grins. I love your sis, Jerome. Jerome grins back.
Actually, so do I. Come on, Odell, let's shuffle.
Odell rises and heads for the door. Jerome grasps the knob, then turns back. His grin is gone.
Have you been where I think you've been?
Probably.
Does Holly know you visit him?
No, and you're not to tell her. She'd find it vastly upsetting.
Yes, she would. How is he?
The same. Although, Hodges is thinking of how the picture fell over. That clack sound.
Although what?
Nothing. He's the same. Do me one favor, okay? Tell Barbara to get in touch if Tina calls and says her brother found out the girls talked to me on Friday.
Will do. See you tomorrow.
Jerome leaves. Hodges turns on the TV and is delighted to see the Indians are still on. They've tied it up. The game is going into extra innings.